Today's program is brought to you by Byright, a family-owned San Francisco-grown market. For more information, visit ByrightMarket.com.
HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Business. All right. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Heritage Radio Network. We are coming to you, as always, from the back of Roberta's Pizza here in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And today we are joined on the line by Sarah Wiener. Sarah is the executive director of the Seedlings Project. And we're going to hear a little bit about her work and some very exciting stuff that's making its way from the West Coast to the East Coast this coming June. Sarah, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, so folks who aren't familiar with the Seedlings Project, can you give us a little bit of the background information? You have such an interesting resume. I would love to share that with folks.
Sure. So Seedling Projects began about 6 years ago. It was started by myself and Dominic Phillips, who is an event producer. And it's a nonprofit that we started with the idea of creating a do tank for the food movement. We thought there were a lot of good ideas out there of how to make a better food system, and what was really needed was action. And with his event production skill set and my background working for Slow Food internationally and as Alice Waters' assistant, and our joint background helping to create Slow Food Nation in 2008, we thought we kind of knew who the great people were that were super good doers, and it could pull people together for different projects that would be impactful. It very soon became apparent that the most impactful thing we were doing was this project we launched called the Good Food Awards, and it just had its fifth year this January. It's all about craft food producers, those who are tasty, authentic, and responsible, and giving them the support and platform that they need to go out and be thriving businesses and even models for other businesses in their area. So it's a national, I suppose you could call it a competition, though we prefer recognition kind of program for food producers in 11 different categories, from cheese to pickles to beer. And it follows somewhat the James Beard Awards model in terms of recognizing the best in each region of the country, with the twist that to even enter, you need to be meeting sustainability and social responsibility criteria. And it's been really fun. We thought when we launched, if 500 producers entered, that would be amazing. But that first year, we had 700 entries.
Wow.
Last year, we had... Yeah. And last year we had 1,500, which we taped all in one day. So it gets to be a little logistically complicated, but we've been so excited to see it grow. And when the winners do come together for an awards ceremony in San Francisco once a year, it's really a beautiful evening with hundreds of people and these amazing food producers that often don't, you know, get out of their kitchen or, you know, their basement where they're fermenting sauerkraut to be recognized by their friends and family. And, you know, Ellis Waters and Ruth Rachel and Mark Fittman and Nell Newman were all there giving out the awards this year. And it's much deserved recognition for people working really hard, making just fabulous food that's good for just the joy level of everyone in America, but also for having healthy environment and good communities.
I love that. I love the idea of a do tank versus a think tank. Obviously, both are important. And I want to talk more in a little bit about the Good Food Mercantile, which is coming up this June here on the East Coast. But before we jump into that, I want to hear a little bit more about the Good Food Awards criteria. I'm wondering if you can share with us how the criteria for what kind of sustainability or good has evolved over the course of the 5 years of the award, and what things have been like kind of surprises or challenges for you as the project has obviously grown quite substantially.
That is one of the pieces of this whole project that has taken the most thought and effort and input from all different kinds of people. When we set out, it was important to us to choose criteria that really did stand for pushing the envelope towards more sustainability and social responsibility in each industry, but wasn't so stringent that maybe there's, you know, three charcuterie makers in the whole country that would meet that criteria, because it wouldn't be much of a fun competition. And also because our theory of change and improvement in the world is you bring everyone with you, and everyone is in it together. So in the very first year, we created this interesting structure where each different industry that we worked in, and we started with seven and we add one each year, has a committee with two committee chairs. And these are people that are volunteering their time, but are deep experts in each of the industries. So, for example, on the cheese committee, the first committee chairs were Peggy and Sue, the original founders of Cowgirl Creamery. And it's kind of evolved. For example, now our coffee committee chairs include the head roaster of Blue Bottle, and just great people. And they kind of put together the first proposal. We work with them. And then each year we look back on that criteria and we evaluate, has the industry kind of moved forward enough that we can tighten it up a little bit? In terms of really interesting things that have arisen around our criteria, for example, when we started the cheese category, we thought we should people should be either, you know, feeding their animals grass or feed that was organically grown. We thought that was kind of a reasonable requirement, but we heard very, very quickly from some southern cheesemakers that while that might be very reasonable on the West Coast because there was plenty of supply of organic feed, in the South that was very hard to get and expensive, and in a way possibly not as sustainable as using feed made by local farms that weren't growing it organically but are local. So we kind of loosened it up a little bit in that category, trying to look at what are the realities all across the country and not just trying to be very mindful that things are different in different parts of the country.
That makes a lot of sense. I think also is like such a challenge to often identify and reach people in the middle of the country. You know, I find that folks who are producing on the coast, they tend to be just a touch more plugged in and media savvy. So how did you kind of get the word out to the middle of the country about these awards? And were there kind of tools or people who were critical to kind of growing your network in those areas?
That's a really good question. So our outreach has always been multi-level. The first thing we want to do is talk with our committee chairs and committee members and find out what are the organizations that have a reach in the middle of the country and in kind of all over to really the true leaders in each industry who are making amazing food that we want to reach. So organizations like Edible Communities have been a media sponsor for us. And on all 60 or 70 of their websites, they've hosted web ads and information about what's going on. And that's been like a really neat way to kind of reach smaller kind of micro areas. Reaching out through the California Artisan Cheese Guild or the Craft Brewers Guild and all these kind of great groups that are bringing together artisan food producers. But equally important, we found, was directly connecting with producers. There's so much, as you know, there's so much that comes into your inbox every day. And there's just so much information out there that's electronic that we found when there's someone our committee recommends, you know, a tiny new craft chocolate maker in Arizona, or just someone making amazing cheese in Tennessee. We call them to tell them we want them to enter and to tell them that we heard about them, because people don't use the phone as much nowadays.
Yeah.
And when you kind of get a phone call and there's someone live on the other end that can explain to you what this is and why it might be interesting and useful for a producer in Wyoming or Nevada, then it's, I think, a lot more effective at getting the word out.
Yeah, and I wonder, you know, you sit at such an interesting kind of purview to be a real observer of, you know, rising trends and then also probably opportunities in the craft food space. And I'm wondering if you can share with us, you know, things that you've seen kind of really, you know, take a jump over the course of the 5 years that you guys have been administering the awards, and then maybe looking forward a little bit more, if there are categories or spaces that you're hoping to see a growth in entries.
Sure. Well, since I did a little knock on Southern Cheese, I'm going to now give major props to Southern Cheese because it's one of the super interesting geographically regions that we've seen explode in terms of quality and quantity. The very first year of the Good Food Awards, we didn't have any Southern Cheese entries that met what our judges said was kind of going to be the minimum for, you know, garnering an award. And we try to give, we kind of have a quota per region. So, you know, 3 cheese winners from the West, 3 cheese from the South. So we actually didn't give out any cheese awards in the South, even though we had some entries. Whereas last year, the best, highest scoring cheeses in the whole country were from the South.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's so exciting, and it's kind of unlikely given their climate, but they, you know, seem to be really figuring out how to make the most of their terroir and innovating, and it's, I think, a very exciting moment for cheese in the South. Another interesting trend we've seen, spreadable meats.
Huh.
I spent some time in Italy, you know, 10 years ago working for Slow Food, so I was aware of Nugia, the Calabrian sort of charcuterie that's spreadable. But suddenly, like, everyone's aware of Nugia because there's, like, whole companies. In fact, we have one coming to the Mercantile that just make Nugia, and it's a super delicious, super spicy, soft sort of charcuterie. So that's been very interesting to see.
Yeah. I'm a big fan. I would definitely not mind seeing more of that around. Well, kind of speaking of the Mercantile, I think this is such an interesting idea, you know, essentially creating like an alternative food show. Where did that, you know, trade show, where did that idea come from? And mm-hmm. and now the one that you're running here in June is the 2nd, is that right?
The 27th of June.
Oh, yeah, but the second one, you've, yes. Yeah, awesome.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so what we started noticing was happening at the Good Food Awards celebration weekend is we do this public event called the Good Food Awards Marketplace, and we've been very fortunate to host it in collaboration with San Francisco's biggest farmers market, the Quesa Farmers Market at the Ferry Building each year. And it really is for the public, and thousands of people come, but we noticed, speaking with our winners after the weekend, that one of the things that was happening is that winners were meeting buyers at the public marketplace and having these new wholesale opportunities. And that much more than, you know, the several thousand dollars worth of sales they were making just that one day to the public, those relationships and those wholesale opportunities that were organically happening at this public event were kind of building up these businesses and creating huge new opportunities for them. So thinking about that, we realized, well, that's like the kind of relationship that's really going to help spur growth and sustainability for on a business level for these businesses. Why don't we create an event just tailored towards those connections? And from that concept, the Good Food Mercantile was born. We kind of had realized that there was nothing in the trade show format that brought together like-minded food crafters in terms of their commitment to sustainability and social responsibility. So we thought, well, that's what we can create. So that's what we've done, and it's a smaller, more intimate gathering of about 100 food crafters, all of whom meet the criteria of the Good Food Awards, many of whom are past Good Food Award winners. If not, they've kind of joined the Good Food Merchants Guild, which has the same criteria for joining, which we actually vet everyone, and occasionally we say, you know, we're sorry if you change this or that. You're most welcome to come back, but, you know, we are serious about it. The first one we did in San Francisco, the same weekend of the Good Food Awards celebration, and 300 or 400 buyers came from all over the country, from about 20 different states. And we started immediately getting emails from some of the food crafters that were there saying, you know, when are you doing the next one? Because sign me up. And by the time we had about 50 of those emails, we realized, okay, we're going to do the next one kind of right away in June in New York. And we couldn't be more excited to be coming to the East Coast.
Yeah, and we are excited to have you. So I want to be clear, though, for folks, what it means to have a trade show. So this is not a show that's open for the public for me to come and have, like, my mind blown as like a snacking opportunity. Like, what are the kind of barriers to entry for folks who want to attend the show?
Great question. So it's open to food crafters, so people making shelf stable or kind of value added foods and doing it sustainably, and retailers, so people who work for a grocery store or even an online retailer, who are looking for new products to stock, and it's open to media. So you're in luck.
And if you want to be my best friend, email me at Erin@heritageradionetwork.org, and maybe I'll try and sneak you in for some good snacks. Well, Sarah, we are super thrilled to have you guys come visit us out here on the East Coast. And then, of course, everyone mark their calendars. January 2016 is going to be the next Good Food Awards. I know folks can find out more about both these projects and your work by visiting www.seedlingsprojects.org. But for folks who are maybe more in the consumer space, what's the best way for them to support the stuff that you guys are doing?
A great way would be to go to goodfoodawards.org and have a look at our past winners list, so they can kind of be on your radar. And when you're in the grocery store, if you see that little blue square that says Good Food Award winner, give it a try. And come on out in January to the Good Food Awards Marketplace.
Awesome. Sarah, thanks so much for joining us. It's been really great getting the lowdown on the upcoming Mercantile and marking our calendars for the Good Food Awards. Definitely more to come on the good food front. So thanks for all you do.
Thanks, Erin.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Heritage Radio Network. You can find us at www.heritageradionetwork.org. We are in the midst of our Kickstarter campaign to rebuild that very website. So if you got a few bucks, please click the link on the right and kick them in. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned in.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.